This is a friend of mine, Judy Scott, very prophetic lady, and she's been very instrumental in our own lives. Whenever there's been a shift and a change happening, she's come and she's given a word with not knowing a single thing that's happening. So she knows nothing about this church. I've told her nothing, other than I said, you're quite a young church. I thought you'd been going about 5 years, but apparently it's about 8 or 9. So that's all I told her. And I said, please, would you pray for a word of encouragement? So this is her word. Let me put my glasses on. That's a good help. In praying for the church, I was reminded of Paul's exhortation to Timothy. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. I feel that God would speak this over you, not just as individuals, but as an entire church community. I feel that you are dreaming of ways to impact the whole of Stellenbosch, to see the community transformed, to impact numerous strata of society. And you're dreaming of how different churches in Stellenbosch can unite and collaborate together for greater impact for the gospel. I've heard, and she's got in brackets from Shirley, not a word of knowledge, that you are a newer church in the community and you have many young leaders. And I feel encouraged. And I feel to encourage you, do not be intimidated by your youth or by the cynicism of those who have tried before. God has anointed you like David to stand in courage with the boldness of youth. You are a company of giant slayers. I also feel to encourage you that like David, you have your own identity as a church. You don't need to wear the armor worn by the previous generation. Your effectiveness will be from being yourself in the Spirit. I assume that you have been planted out of New Gen and Somerset West, and I feel that as much as you are part of this family, this is a season of spaciousness, of finding your own identity. This is about moving from being a church plant to becoming a church. It's about moving from under the wing to running alongside with your own unique strengths and position. It's about forming your own multifaceted leadership team. I feel that it's time for bringing on more leaders. It's going to mean taking some risks. It's about believing in God's call on some blazing young men and women. They may not have decades of experience, but there's a tremendous passion in them that God is wanting to harness. I feel that God is wanting to give you a very diverse, multifaceted, and multi-gifted leadership team. Some of your leaders may seem raw. They're the type who are like Peter, who will cut off the ear of a guard. They might make mistakes, but they will become rocks in the kingdom. In coming into your identity, this is not to negate the need of fathers. God has and will give you fathers who will love you and invest in you. But as you come into this maturity in the season, the relationship of these fathers is one of support and advice. As a church, as you grow in size and maturity, don't mistake maturity for a lack of adventure and passion. God loves this aspect of who you are. In terms of a season of coming into maturity, I see a flag being hammered into the ground. I'm not sure where you are currently meeting or whether there is a sense of stability there, but I just feel like God is going to give you a place to hammer a flag into the ground, a place that would bring you a sense of permanency. At the same time, I feel that there is something in you as a people that cuts against ostentatiousness, and your home will reflect your church personality. There's something real, something vulnerable, something organic, something beautiful. You're a people of creativity, and the arts is going to be a way that you'll reach into the community too. There's a real focus on the real. Real relationships, real community, real family. And this is going to be reflected in your location. It's not going to be a regular four-walled warehouse type building. I feel you need to dream for something that reflects you. I feel that your location will also speak to your calling. I get a sense in my spirit that you have begun as a church with a student focus, and although you will continue to see growth in the number of students coming into the church, I believe at this time there's a transition of being a family church. Even that students would come into the church but stay on after their studies because of what God is doing in your midst. There are going to be older families and couples that come to Stellenbosch for other reasons, but will find themselves drawn to your community. You're not going to be a church marked by one demographic group or even one language. You will grapple with the future of South Africa from a place of experience. I feel that as a group, you are going to have numerous social ministries that will reach out into the communities around you. There's something in you as a church that carries a heart for the poor, and there are not going to be just one or two outreach projects. There are going to be many. I see schemes that look to address the needs of the whole community. Nutrition, housing, education, youth, etc. Whole communities are going to be transformed, and churches are going to be planted alongside these projects. It will be holistic. Physical and spiritual needs will be met. I feel to encourage you to focus on raising up leaders. Be intentional about discipleship and training. I sense that you will not be an old church when you experience multiplication, but it'll be through relationship, even students that go home with a passion to plant, and communities where relationships form over time. Although you're a relatively young church, there is already in your DNA something about plowing up new ground, about new adventures and looking into the nations. And God's hand is upon this. And he loves your faith for the more, and he's going to open many, many doors. I feel that God would commend you for your study of the word. I feel like your church has not shied away from preaching a clear gospel and a teaching of the word. I see a community equipped with sharp swords of the word. That is going to be something that will mark you as a community, a deep knowledge of the scripture and integrity. I see a theologians in your midst who will be deployed to loving sharing and debating truth, even in the context of the university. Your community is well fed. I feel in addition to this that God is wanting to model something in you of being a people who can hold the word and the spirit together in a beautiful harmony. I just found this so interesting because she sent it to me earlier on in the week, but it never came through, so it only came through this morning. You will not go off at a tangent. You're a solid ground in the word, but you'll be a people who equally flow in the anointing and gifts of the Holy Spirit. You won't be put off by the instabilities and excesses of the past, but will embrace all that the Spirit has for this generation in a healthy and sustainable way. I feel there's a season of teaching into and experiencing more of the Holy Spirit. More than anything else, I just want to share with you the well done of heaven. I feel like God delights in you as a community so much. It has been a season of sowing a lot. There have been unseen sacrifices. There has been cost. But I feel that God is so excited about who you are as a community and where he is taking you. The adventure is only beginning. In this season of maturity, of moving out from being a plant into more formal structures, it is a season of acceleration. These are structures and stability will release into the more. It's a season in which the rider is kicking the side of the horse to move from a canter to a gallop.
I think we're going to have to get that and just mull over that some more. That's beautiful. Such spot on stuff there, hey? Great. I think maybe for the sake of time, unless there's someone who's really got something burning that they'd love to share that would really encourage us around receiving the Holy Spirit. If you wouldn't mind. Yeah, just 2 minutes. Awesome.
Thanks. Okay, so for those who don't know me, I have juvenile myoclonic epilepsy, which means I was diagnosed as a really young kid and they don't know what caused it. Today, I'm 140 days tonic-clonic seizure-free, which means I'm about almost halfway to being legally allowed to drive, but I've never made it this long without actually having a seizure, and I have not taken medication for 4 months. None of my doctors know this. My family doesn't know this, but I decided to put it into God's hands 4 months ago, and yeah, he's been a lot more reliable than any of the medications I've ever taken, so yeah.
Sure, thank you, Lord.
Thanks so much. Cool. I think, Wally.
Great. Thank you very much. Great. Thank you for that testimony. Thank you, love, for reading that prophetic word out from Kerry. Not from Kerry, from Judy. There was another prophetess that we knew. And Judy has a profound prophetic gift. And as you mull over, ponder over it, and start praying into it and doing warfare with that prophetic word, you'll see it all begin to unfold, which is really, really beautiful and powerful. What I'd like to do this evening is continue chatting and unpacking the Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit for us to encounter Him in ever-increasing measure and way. Now, Kate had to go out for whatever reason, but she was expecting and is expecting. But imagine in the spirit realm, you and I are living like she's looking. She's about to pop and a little baby's going to be born within a week or two. But imagine if we walked with an expectancy in God to heal the sick, to raise the dead if need be, to bring deliverance to people that are oppressed, and for God's power to move in a mighty way. Imagine if we lived with that expectation in God. I believe we need to lower our expectation in man, but raise it in God. I believe the Holy Spirit, when He begins to fill us, we become far more perceptive and aware of Him. We had an encounter, an experience. It was about 18 months, 2 years ago. We flew from Cape Town to Durban before we relocated. And we stayed with some friends in Belita. In fact, they went abroad and they just said, use our house, use our car. And we said, great, cool. Now we had to go off to the shop. So I get the car keys, open the garage. Whoa, this is one serious car. It was the latest. It was like a Jeep stroke, Land Rover stroke, something or other. Climbed into the car, thought, where do I put this key? And then I got the horror of all horrors. Was always checked that the cars are neutral. Where's the gear lever? There's no gear lever. And I'm starting to panic and I'm thinking to myself, hey, and I look and that the car's only done 5,000 kilometers. So it's like got that new smell. And I thought to myself, whoa, I'm scared to take this to the shops. But eventually I had to push a button, never mind turn a key. All of a sudden the gear lever whoop, comes up. And just had a little click into reverse. And all of a sudden, lights and things were happening. They had some kind of mechanism on the back that actually I could see out the back of the garage. I thought, whoa, this is amazing. And it started beeping as I got close. And I thought, this is amazing. And I began to think, whoa, Lord, imagine if Holy Spirit within us could help us become aware of what's happening in the spirit realm in a greater way. How our lives would be more powerful and impactful. And then the funniest thing, I drop Shirley off at the shops and I'm driving so slow. I drive slow as it is, ask Paul. But I was even driving more slower. So I get to the shops and I thought, I'm not going to park where cars are because I'm scared I might get a little ding from somebody. So I move right out of the side where there's no cars. And I dropped Shirley off by the door and I parked there and I lock it and I thought, remote's double check. So I check it and I walk about 20 paces and I have a little panic attack. I thought, let me go double check. So I walk back to the car and I'm so glad I did, because as the door's open, I thought, oh no, now there's someone else. So I click it again, check it's locked, walk away. And I thought, no, I'm going to check again. So as I walk, it's open again. So I thought, no ways. I'm standing here. I'm not going into the shops to help Shirley. And then Shirley says, where are you? I said, no, I can't lock this car. And I'm not leaving it unlocked. Not realizing that as you walk close, it automatically opens the door. I didn't know that. And all of a sudden I realized, as we begin to start living more and by the Holy Spirit's leading and directing, doors that we think are locked are just going to open. And I believe the Holy Spirit begins to direct us and guide us to doors. He knows what's behind. We don't. And it's previously locked, but as we walk, it's just going to open. I asked myself the question, looking and reading and studying the book of Acts, what it must have been like for a fly on the wall to observe life in the early church. I think a fly on your lips for about 2 days, a week. Those that have studied that could tell me. But imagine the adventure of 2 days or 1 week of life, witnessing and observing a people filled with the power of God and living an adventurous life. I want to give you some things what he must have seen. He must have seen people that were timid and cowardly becoming bold and courageous. I believe that Fly would have witnessed people that were having visions and dreams and encounters with God. He witnessed people full of wisdom, faith, and power. People that were living from a place of revelation in God, not just the knowledge of God. There were people that were victorious in the spite of opposition. That Fly must have thought these people have gone crazy. They've been beaten for their faith, but they're rejoicing that they were counted worthy. See, that's what the infilling and the power of the Holy Spirit, nothing deters you. There's a courage that comes in you. There was a generosity. There was not one needy one among them. See, Holy Spirit brings a generosity because he's a life-giving spirit. There was joy. There was peace. There was liberty. The flyer said prayer meetings were scary because everything shook. Think about it. There was an outward focus, an upward focus. There was a life of obedience and praise at all times, even in prison. There was strength and courage like never before. There was the fear of God that lived in the hearts of people more than the fear of man. That was what a people looked like. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And as I began to read and read over and over and over again, I said, Lord, that picture in the book of Acts of the early church, and I've just given you a cameo of it, I don't believe it's there to tantalize us or frustrate us, but I believe it's the hors d'oeuvre in the menu of what God's got planned for his church around the world to go not only into that, but beyond that. And I believe it's the faith in our hearts that say, yes, that was there for us to say yes and amen and want to step into that more and more. God's heart is that we be a people filled, empowered, and live led by his Holy Spirit. The Bible says you and I are temples of the Holy Spirit. How cool is that? There's larger temples. There's some skinny temples. But we're all temples of the Holy Spirit. But that, and if you look in the book of Ezekiel, what happened? The river flew from the temple out. From our lives, the rivers of God ought to be flowing from us, not being dammed up. Now, God's desire and heart is for all of us to be filled. Now, the outflowing looks a little different, but all of it needs to be supernatural. I don't know about you. We'll never win the world through intellect or academic debates. It'll only be in and through the supernatural. You see, what opened Jerusalem to the gospel was the healing of that guy, interesting, at the gate, beautiful. He was a cripple there that had been laid there, but with Peter and John, that supernatural healing, everybody got to hear of what had happened. I'm looking forward to the outworking of more and more of your story when the doctors and parents, etc., 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 of God's supernatural healing touch. Because you see, he hasn't changed. We have changed. We've let intellect rule more than faith in our hearts towards him. And I'm wanting to stir your faith in that direction. Now, if I could also say this, all those different outward evidences of the inward filling, there is the prophecy of Judy that Shirley read. There are prophetic, powerful prophetic gifts. There are words of wisdom, words of knowledge. There are demons that need to be cast out. The discerning of spirits, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. God wants all of those to become evident as they were in the early church, as they were in the life of Jesus. Holy Spirit is still very much alive and well, and he wants to flow in and through our lives. Now, many folk have encountered Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Wonderful. You're born of the Spirit. And as Paul and others were chatting earlier on, there's a subsequent encounter, but with Jesus as the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Two separate encounters. If I could remind you, remember when Jesus spoke of the woman at the well in John chapter 4? You know, a well was symbolic in Isaiah. With joy, you will draw from the wells of salvation. I think it's Isaiah 12. But in John chapter 7, he spoke about rivers flowing from our innermost being. Two different things. A well has water, and it will provide water for those people in close proximity, which is a picture of finding faith in Jesus. Your life will impact and touch people in your close proximity. But when you encounter Jesus as baptized in the Holy Spirit, a river has far longer influence. And He wants rivers to be flowing from our lives to wherever we go. I want to so urge and encourage you for you to begin to realize there's a massive difference between just living from a well or living from a river. I need to emphasize this, that the gift, it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not something you have to achieve or attain or come to a level of maturity or having your life all sorted out. It's nothing about performance or if you've been a Christian for 5 years, now you're eligible. No, no, no. It's a gift that He bestows and gives to us. I need to also say this. The gift is not a mark of maturity. It's not a mark of maturity. If you prophesy or you pray in tongues, a gift of tongues, it doesn't mean you've arrived. It's the infilling of the Holy Spirit as a doorway and a gateway into encountering Him more and more, becoming very, very aware and sensitive of His leading and directing. That's the beauty of it. When we're in meetings and you feel, you begin, this is what you're saying to me. I know our people say, well, why do we sing the same songs all the time? I said, I can sing the same song, but when Holy Spirit helps me worship in spirit and in truth, last time there was that phrase or that line that was meaningful for me. Now it's the second paragraph and this, and that. He's bringing deeper understanding. See, Holy Spirit plummets the depths of who God is and makes it more real to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. See, Holy Spirit has such a varied, wide working in our lives as we allow Him. Holy Spirit's a free, free gift. Luke chapter 11, verse 13, and Acts chapter 2, verse 38 to 39. Holy Spirit is a promise of power to live bold, courageous lives. Power over the flesh. How many of you have challenges with the flesh? We all have challenges with the devil. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to say no to the devil, no to flesh, but yes to Him. See, we need that power in our lives. Now, the gift has been given. We don't have to tarry for it. We need to thirst for it. Now, there might be a number of you that have been prayed over the years for the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you've been a little disappointed that nothing has happened. You've seen other people maybe rest or be slain in the spirit or whatever the term you prefer. Or others, yes, they pray. What's happened to me? Can I say that you're not a second-rate citizen or Christian, but you never received it? There's nothing wrong with you, but what's often a thing, we've got to learn to be good receivers. We've got to learn to be good receivers. For myself, when I was prayed by Fred Roberts, there was a younger Christian, I think his name was Gerald, that came with me that Saturday afternoon. We stood there next to each other. I'd been a Christian about 9 months. He had been 3 months. Fred Roberts prayed for us both. He just burst out praying in other tongues, and I just stood there, and I thought, it's not fair, God. I'm a little bit older than him. He's talking. I'm not. What's wrong with me? Out of process, there's nothing a matter of wrong. It's a matter of receiving and by faith speaking. It's a faith language. I've seen two Japanese people talk. Remember AJ, he spoke Japanese in our church. It was comical. Two Japanese people. And they were jabbering away there. I couldn't understand one single word. But not for one single moment would I go to AJ and say, AJ, you have lost the plot. No, because the Japanese language was outside of my frame reference of understanding. So when I'm praying in tongues, it's not I'm talking from my head. I'm talking from my spirit to God, uttering mysteries and secrets in the spirit that my mind cannot grasp or understand. But it's my spirit communing. It's deep crying out to deep God. And as I began to understand that, I felt the Lord say, Wally, the gift's been given to you. You've got to unpackage the gift. And you do it by faith. The good news was about 3 days later, I was actually a little miffed off with God. And I lay on bed and I said, God, I actually give up. And it was like I heard him say, at last. Because I had been trying so hard, instead of trusting, instead of saying, Lord, I believe that I've received, and by faith beginning to talk. I don't believe I can teach anybody to talk in tongues. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. I don't believe you can't copy anybody. I believe that's a faith language that we speak. It's a faith language. Please don't in any way let anybody have, if some of you might have had a bad experience where people have tried to copy me. I don't believe you can copy other tongues. It's got to come from within as there's a flooding of your spirit by the Holy Spirit. It's a beautiful prayer language. It's a beautiful prayer language that makes your prayer life unlimited. Because I don't know about you, but I do run out of words when I've got to pray for some prickly, tough situations that I don't always have full understanding of. For example, my heart has been deeply moved with the conflict in Syria and all the refugees fleeing from that area across the Mediterranean. I've seen it on CNN, Al Jazeera, and I think, whoa, these families and there's people drowning, etc. Lord, how do I pray? What do I pray? And then I go to my closet and I said, Lord, I bring before you all these people. 99.9% are Muslims. They don't know you. They're fleeing from war for their lives with a better hope, they think, in Europe. They've saved thousands to try and get a passport across the waters. So I said, Lord, I bring them all before you now. And I start praying in tongues. And I can pray 10, 15, 20 minutes, half an hour, an hour. And guess what? Never get tired. Never run out of words. That's the beauty of it. And guess what? I'm praying the perfect prayer to a tragic situation that I know little about, but he knows. See, that's when I found the beauty. My prayer language has gone to another level. When I pray in tongues, the Bible says in the book of Jude, you build yourself up in the most holy faith. How many of you know you get those times where you don't know what to pray anymore? You're fed up. That's when you kick into spiritual overdrive. And say, Lord, I don't understand, but I'm going to pray and I just let the rivers begin to flow. When you're worshiping Jesus, how many of you know you can say, Jesus, I adore you. I love you. I'm devoted to you. You're the greatest. You're the best. And then I run out of words. But then I just begin to sing in the spirit and begin to worship him. And oftentimes I begin to interpret that afterwards. And it becomes so cool. It's like love songs of deep calling to deep. Can I say to you this evening too, that praying in the spirit, praying in tongues, I'm just using it synonymously, is a powerful weapon against the enemy. A powerful weapon. When you feel hemmed in by the enemy, when you feel pressed in by him, you can begin to wield that sword by praying in the spirit. It's a mighty weapon for you and I to begin to grow and move forward in him. I found the infilling of the Holy Spirit, there's increased wisdom and revelation, particularly from the Bible. The scriptures became so much more real to me. It was like the Holy Spirit lightens things from the pages of the Bible and transfers them into my heart that just made it, whoa, I didn't know that. I'd never seen that before. I also found as I became more and more led by the Spirit, life became more unpredictable and spontaneous, which was so great. Where I began to say, Lord, Holy Spirit, who are we going to chat to today? Where are we going to go? What's going to happen? And you just feel these promptings. You feel these nudges. I call it, I try to keep my spirit bubble in the middle. You know, spirit level? It's got that little bubble. And I try to follow that leading of peace and joy. And it's like, you feel right. It feels good. And then I follow that. See, the Bible's there to give us guidelines. The Holy Spirit's to help us in between that. It's been led by the Spirit. Now, to me, there's many, many folks that have tried, and I just want to touch on one or two things that I've found over the years are blockages that have hindered people from receiving the second encounter of the Holy Spirit. The first one is wrong teaching. And Paul helped us and clarified a little bit of that earlier on with us. Go to the Bible, you can see they're two separate accounts, two separate incidents. But a lot of people I've heard, they said, no, well, it was just for Bible times, not for today. I said, but Holy Spirit is God. How can he be just for Bible times and not for now? We need him now more than ever before if we look at the mess in the world. Another reason is people are fearful. And Jesus said if to the Pharisees in reference to the Holy Spirit, if you in Luke chapter 11, if you being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So when we ask Jesus to baptize us in the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit you're going to receive, not another spirit. Another blockage is occult involvement, whether you've been involved in seances, Ouija boards, the occult in some way. That we have found in the past has been a spiritual block. Or willfully living in sin and disobedience. We do commit sin, but we offer, as we walk together in the Holy Spirit, we sin less. But if you're living in willful, stubborn sin and a disobedience to God, that's a blockage. Or another one could be no real salvation experience. I believe that when Jesus is real, there's a desire for more to grow. And I did mention this one earlier on, is past bad experiences. And I can see it as sometimes enthusiasm of others wanting you to be filled. Can I say that as we just position ourselves in faith, in grace, and look to Jesus as the baptizer and the Holy Spirit, he never disappoints. I believe he fills us, but like water has potential as a tap there, we've got to turn the tap. We've got to unwrap the gift and we've got to say, Lord, let it flow out of my life and my focus is on you. I've seen people when you pray for them and you say, just begin to let the river of words flow. They all of a sudden go like this. They look to the person on the left and right and thinking, what are they going to think about me? You see, at this point, we're not concerned about what to the left or to the right. We just want to deeper connect with Jesus and let that flow. To me, I would say maybe 70, 80% of my prayer time is praying in other tongues. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And it's just different flow. And then I say, gee, Lord, that was interesting. Who were we praying for there? Or what was going on there? It just, it adds breadth and depth to your relationship with the Lord. How do we, can I say, we need to focus on Jesus as baptizer. John the Baptist baptized Jesus in water. Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Spirit, immersing us in the person of the Holy Spirit. It's a free gift that we need to receive. I find some people are so tense, we need to relax. If you're going to receive a gift, it's not take the gift. No, no. You receive the gift. And you say, thank you for the gift, Jesus. I receive that gift. And then from your innermost being, Jesus said, rivers will flow. I always encourage a person when we pray for them is don't speak under your breath, mumbling, speak out words. Let the Father and the Son know that you are talking to them mysteries and secrets. And I like to say, let the devil know you've been endued with power from on high. Let him know that now he's got to put a massive danger sign over your life because you're a massive threat to him and his kingdom. Can I encourage you, for those that we're going to pray for, that if you don't have a manifestation, you are no way a second-rate citizen of the kingdom. Please hear that. The devil is the father of lies, and he would lie to you. What we need to do, what I had to do in those 3 days before I had the outward experience of praying in other tongues and prophesying, etc., was I had to go through all the scriptures and let the scriptures build faith in my heart and convince me that this was a Bible practice for today, not just for a historical account, but for today. It's for today. How do we begin to open our hearts more and more? As I said, we've got to learn to relax and receive. We need to begin to say, Lord, I cannot mentally, because most of you in this room are degreed people or studying to get a degree. You are exercising your brain power, your mind, your thinking faculty. That's what you exercise in lectures all the time with your studies. This you can't. It's a heart exercise where you've got to, by faith, say, I see it in the Bible, I believe it, I receive it, and I'm going to speak it. It's as simple as that. You can't think it way out of it. You can't. I could imagine the religious people. They couldn't figure Jesus out. They couldn't understand it. Lazarus, a guy, had been dead for 4 days, now walking and talking. You know what their cure was? We've got to kill the guy. You read in John chapter 12. Let's kill him. You read it there. I was flabbergasted when I saw it. The multiplication of food, bread, two fish, five. There's no explainable answer to that. It's supernatural. Jesus walking on the water. Who was underneath? Who was supporting it? You can't understand. No, no. He was the one who made the oceans, who made the seas, who spoke it all into being. He says, man, I speak it. I can walk on it. I can even change it to wine. He's God. He can do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants. And as we begin to put God in his rightful place, everything changes. I believe there needs to be a heart of dependency. And Lord, I realize I need Holy Spirit more than I actually know or think. I need you more and more and more. Jesus began his ministry with his declaration of dependency on the Holy Spirit in Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. He's the one that commissions and sends us. I remember sitting at the waterfront with Shirley a couple of years ago, and I was watching two yachts, one coming in, one going out. And it was fascinating. The one had these beautiful big sails that hoisted, and it was just being filled with wind as it was just going out the harbor. And there was another one coming in, no sails, I thought, caught my attention. They had the motor going. Both were moving forward, yes, but I think one was sailing by the way it was designed to sail, by the wind. More challenging, yes, but so much more adventurous. I want to say God wants to take us on an adventure, but there needs to be that vulnerability of hoisting our hearts to the sail of the Holy Spirit, dropping our God, not having point one, point two all figured out, because we'll never, ever figure it out. Another thing that helps us connect with the Holy Spirit is choosing to relinquish control. I think most of us are control freaks in one way or other. And we want to know what's going to happen here, there, and what. No, no, we've got to say, Holy Spirit, I relinquish control to you. The Spirit-filled life is that being controlled by him, not us. He doesn't enjoy being a backseat driver. I believe he wants to hold the steering wheel and have his foot on the accelerator and give direction. That's Holy Spirit. I believe as we respond in faith and obedience, desiring him, I believe he breaks into our lives in profound and powerful ways. For those that have never been prayed for the fresh and filling, we want to pray for you. Those that say, yes, that's what I want. Even those that have been prayed for numerous times, but haven't had the outward flow of praying in tongues or prophesying or vision or something. And you say, yes, not I'm going to give it another shot. I'm going to say, Jesus, I want you to do it. And I'm going to just receive and relinquish control to you and break down the walls of dependency. And Lord, I'm going to be vulnerable with you. I want to be open in my life. I don't know where, what, or how, but I'm going to. And then, Lord, there's nothing more beautiful than speaking a love language to Him that is sweet and dear. When I pray in tongues, I want to say, Lord, most of what I'm saying to you, I want it to be love words between us. Love words, love relationship. I can tell you a comical story is my wife, Shirley, is very, very sentimental. By that I mean all of the love letters that I've written to her, she's kept in boxes. And when we were in Cape Town moving from one home to the other, the one time the weather was bad and Shirley said to the girls, our two, I think they were teenage daughters at the time, even younger, they somehow found these boxes. And they opened these boxes and started reading these letters and they were laughing. Dad, I didn't know you called Mom this, this, and this, and this. And Shirley, it was just all of our pet names that we were calling one another. And they teased us and dissed us and laughed at us. But I said, that's our words of devotion and words of affection and words of just endearment one for another. And likewise, when I worship Jesus and the Father and the Spirit, I'm speaking words of endearment, words of devotion, words of commitment and love. And it just broadens the depth of our worship to Him. And so this evening, we're going to pray for different groups. I'm going to ask those that are filled, do pray in the Spirit in tongues. I want to ask you to help us to pray for others that aren't. And we just gently, we're just going to gently lay our hands on your shoulder and say, Jesus, be the baptized in the Holy Spirit for whoever it is that comes up. And we're just going to say, receive a fresh and a new empowering of the Holy Spirit for boldness, for courage, for wisdom, for joy, for peace, whatever comes to your mind. If you have a prophetic word over them, share that word with them that would strengthen them. Share that word. If you've got a word of wisdom or knowledge, share it with them that they could be encouraged. How does that sound? Now, there's a beautiful song that we're going to play on the screen. It's my favorite. To me, I said, Lord, I want to listen and worship with Heaven's Top 10. For me, this is number one at the moment. This is my number one. And to me, whenever I start listening to it, it was a wow, wow, wow. The lyrics are profound. It just, your heart will want to soar and worship to Jesus. And so we're going to play it. And then those that want prayer, we're going to come pray. And I'd encourage you that nobody be disengaged as we pray. But everybody either worshiping Jesus or praying for the people up front, or just communing with the Lord in your heart where you are. Please don't just sit, but be engaged, and then you'll enjoy His presence. Amen to that.
Could you just clarify what you're praying for and how
wide? Right,
cool.
Right. We want to pray for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Some folk, brand new, first time, we want to pray for you. Secondly, for those that have been prayed and would like to be prayed for again, the primary purpose is boldness, courage, empowering for mission. But equally, there will be the overflow of praying in other tongues. If there isn't, please don't sweat it. Please don't sweat it. We don't want you to sweat that thing. But I believe a lot of it will start happening, whether now or later tonight, when you lie in bed and you hear the wind, say, Lord, I want that wind to blow in my heart, as it did Acts chapter 2. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, if you come to the front and say, you know what, I've got a sore shoulder or a sore knee or a something, Would you please pray for me for healing? We'd love to do that as well for you. If you're just needing encouragement, we want to pray for you as well in that line. And let's trust Holy Spirit to do what He does best. So what I am going to ask for those that are filled with the evidence of praying in other tongues, we want you to help us pray for others that are desiring either to pray in other tongues or for healing, but boldness, courage, whatever it is. And we just want to have a time of ministering God's love and grace to one another. How does that sound? Is that clear enough? Brilliant. And let's trust the Lord to do that in our hearts. Amen. Are you expectant? These campuses out there with, I think, how many? 60,000? 40,000? 40,000 young people. Whoa. They're looking for authentic, real New Testament Christianity. Not religion. Holy Spirit brings the authentic New Testament Christianity. And if our lives are full of that, guess what? They notice and they spot it. One thing I know about a young person, they can spot the genuine from the counterfeit. If we live authentic, Holy Spirit-filled lives, loving Jesus, they'll come and say, what you got's different. Great. If we could play that. But as you do that, I just want to pray. Father, this evening, as we conclude, you gave a promise of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, you are present here this evening to be the baptizer for first time and then for those that want a fresh infilling. Issues in their life they need to conquer and overcome. Holy Spirit, you so want to help them. Those that need guidance in their lives, Holy Spirit, you're our internal GPS guidance system. Holy Spirit, you want to do a myriad of things here this evening. We just submit and yield to you tonight. We drop our guards. We want to be vulnerable. We want to leave full of your power. Commissioned for mission. In Jesus' name, amen.